The scripture today is from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. These are the crowds that gathered for the feeding of the 5,000 in last week's scripture. And he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you and on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking in the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." One of the perks of serving as executive minister is that at least once a year we have denominational meetings that are held in Wisconsin, which provides me an opportunity to visit my son and his family. They live in a small apartment shared with two and sometimes three of our grandchildren. One's kind of in that half in and half out of the house. Three cats and Puff the bearded dragon lizard. With no room in their inn, I usually rent a hotel room nearby, always with an indoor swimming pool, as it's one of the most favorite activities of my grandchildren. My soon-to-be 7-year-old granddaughter loves it when Grandpa or Nana are in the pool, for it's only then that she has the confidence to go into the deep end. Her Nana and Grandpa are her crutch, which leads her to believe that she'll be safe and protected in the same way that Jesus' presence gave Peter the faith and confidence to get out of the boat during the storm, walk on water over to Jesus. At Jesus' command, Peter stepped out of the boat, started walking in the water, and went towards Jesus, but the strong storm took his focus away from Jesus. Peter was frightened, and he began to sink. And as the scripture says, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and helped him back into the boat. I don't know about you, but so much more is possible when there's backup support available. My granddaughter will risk going over her head with backup support. The child's willing to take that first bicycle ride without training wheels with mom or dad nearby for backup support. At the gym, a young man's willing to go heavier in lifting than he ever could before if his trainer is there standing by to assist. What at first seems impossible becomes possible with the knowledge that there is a support at hand. With support, risk-taking seems less risky. I know that every scripture passage can conjure up a whole host of lessons based on how we're looking at it and where we are in our lives. But what calls out to me as a challenge to the church today is that, like Peter, We are called to step out in faith, even amid troubled waters, if we're to be faithful to Jesus. Many years ago, before I entered in ministry, there was a pastor's conference at which Ernest Campbell, who was then the pastor of Riverside Church in New York City, he spoke about saying that perhaps the reason that the church seemed to be lacking in faith at times is that the church was not doing anything that required faith. We wondered, could this be true today? Could a part of the decline of our churches be due to a lack of faith, a lack of willing to take risk for our faith? Where do we see our church today following Peter's example by stepping out of the comfort and security of the boat and head onto troubled waters of the world to proclaim love and mercy and justice, all that we find in Jesus Christ? You know, being a disciple is supposed to be risky. It's supposed to be exciting. Take up your cross and follow me. Sell all that you own, give it to the poor, and follow me. Follow me, follow me, follow me. Jesus says it often. He said, follow me more often than he said, believe in me, which he only says two times. And I think that's significant. It's not that belief is not important. It's important, but we can and do believe in Jesus, and it can require very little of us. But following Jesus requires us to change our lives and to change the lives of all those we encounter. The difference between believing and following is starkly present in the scripture lesson today. There are disciples who sat in the boat. Once the storm had passed, proclaimed their belief that Jesus was Lord. And then there was Peter, who at the height of the storm got out of the boat over the deep water, accepting Jesus' invitation to come. William Willman, the professor of and practice of Christian ministry at Duke University School, once said, I wonder if too many of us Christians are merely just splashing about in safe shallows and therefore have too few opportunities to test or deepen our faith. This story implies that if we want to be disciples, true disciples, we may have to venture out on the sea, out over our heads. You know, storms rage around our churches. 45 million people in the U.S. live daily in poverty. 20.5 million persons last year struggled with addiction problems. If you read the obituaries, you may not recognize the code words. So-and-so, age 23, died suddenly. Or so-and-so, beloved daughter, died tragically at 17. Occasionally, parents name the storm. The musical which won the Tony Awards this year was Dear Evan Hansen. It's a story about a young man coping with a friend's suicide. Teen suicide rate has increased 25% in the U.S. While it may be a good thing that a Broadway musical has drawn attention to this growing storm, it's terribly sad that this has been so prevalent in our culture that it's drawn the attention of musical playwrights. I believe that we as Christians could make a huge difference in addressing the depression and sadness that is at the root of many of these storms. But if we continue to ignore the mandate given to us by Jesus to go and make disciples, two things will occur. Our churches will continue to decline, and that too many people in our communities will die needlessly. You know, most of our churches cry out and they say they want our churches, we want our church to grow. I work with search communities, including the one that called Pastor Dan here to be your pastor. Churches want growth, but by and large for the wrong reasons. They want growth to save their church. Jesus wants growth to save the souls of those who are drowning in the storms of life. Yes, that sounds like evangelism, which makes modern-day Christians uncomfortable. But there's another word for it. It's called friendship. As Christians, we say that we are the embodiment of Jesus Christ. Our American Baptist identity for the last decade, for more than the last decade, in fact, has been we're the hands and feet of Christ. If this is true, then why is it that we spend more time in the boat than we do out in deep waters where people are struggling the most? Jesus wasn't in the boat in the story of Matthew's gospel. So if we are the expression of Jesus in our world today, then why aren't we where Jesus is? I don't know if you noticed it, but the Sunday Democratic Chronicle on page 2 has been featuring a column for USA Today, which is, I am an American. We are one nation. Each week this series introduces the reader to an exceptional Americans who unite rather than divide our communities. This could be the story of every church. After all, when all is said and done, what unites are the values which are the bedrock of the Christian life. Love, mercy, compassion, kindness, reconciliation, forgiveness. My friends, it's time to get out of the boat. It's time to stop playing it safe and take a few risks. It's time to spend time in over our heads, trusting that Jesus will be there to lift us up if we falter. Or as my 10-year-old grandson tells me, if we learn how to tread water, we can stay over our heads for a very, very long time. The call is there. It doesn't happen quickly. Sometimes we do need to ease deeply, more deeply from the shallow end into the deep water. Others have this style of just plunging in. But either way, it's out there that Christ calls us to be. This is the fueling place. This is the fueling station by which we gain the strength. This is the place we get the support to be able to go out and risk. I'm involved in the last few years in a mentoring program working with adults who are living in poverty, seeking to become self-sufficient. Many of them have had very troubled lives and are trying to rebuild them. And they're succeeding. And at first it may seem, when you look at their MO, they look at their resume, which is filled with a lot of darkness, it may seem scary. But when you sit and you talk with them across the table with a cup of coffee, they're like you and me. They have the same hopes and dreams that you and I have for our children, for our grandchildren, for our future. They need support. They need friendship. Many of the friends that they've had in their past have not been there for them. They've used them. They've abused them. And they welcome new friends. They welcome us as new friends. And I know most of us are introverts, so it's sometimes hard to get out and say that thing that's on our mind, that word of greeting or building the relationships. But Christ will give us courage. Christ will give us strength. Amen.